to his assistant professor of history and Nina Bell Suggs, professor at the University of Southern Mississippi. He received his PhD in 2011 from the University of Michigan, where he specialized in French history, the history of sexuality, and women's studies. He's currently finishing his first book, Public City, Public Sex, Homosexuality, Prostitution, and Urban Culture in 19th Century Paris, under contract with Temple University Press for publication in their Interdisciplinary Sexuality Studies series. His work has appeared in French Historical Studies, the Journal of History of Sexuality, the Berkeley Journal of Sociology, and he regularly teaches courses in world civilization, European history, gender and sexuality studies, and currently serves on the boards of the Committee on Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender History and the Western Society for French History. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for coming to our roundtable today. My remarks are going to, I think, really well complement Sun Young's, not least because it's about the same period and it's about the same course, but a fairly different kind of institution. I work at a medium-sized public institution in the Deep South. My students are largely, let's say, unprepared for the college classroom, so there's a lot of building that has to go on just on, you know, basic skills and that sort of thing. It is largely conservative. I'm going to speak primarily as a historian of sexuality. This is usually the first time that they will have talked about sexuality in kind of a formal academic setting, let alone, sex acts. And a lot of what they know about sex and sexuality, comes from their churches. These, very small towns create kind of conditions that are somewhat challenging to integrate sexuality into these narratives. And that's actually, I admit, I was quite hesitant for a long time to do so, that especially in a survey course where students are there because they're going to be teachers, they're licensure students, I was pretty hesitant about integrating sexuality into the discussion in many respects to avoid undue controversy. And I just, especially just starting at this new institution, really kind of wanted to avoid that. The second reason is also, as a historian of sexuality, we often talk about the need to kind of disrupt the standard narrative, right? But my students don't have the narrative, and so I want to make sure that they have that first. So all that said, last time I taught 19th century Europe, I decided to give it a go. And the lesson I'm going to kind of talk about is integrating the history of prostitution with history of urbanization and urban culture towards the latter part of the 19th century. And I use the history of prostitution in France, and I use the French case, even though this is a European history course, to illustrate and to talk about the broader themes that kind of transformed both ordinary lives and broader processes of urbanization towards the end of the 19th century, though as you can see, the chronology of this particular lesson is a bit wonky, but it's a way of just kind of getting at the main thrust. It's also, I want to point out in my first slide, I'll illustrate this a bit, that the history of prostitution serves as a really unique opportunity to talk about the actual lives that we're supposed to be addressing in our classroom. In ways that I think, especially since it allows me to draw on some of my archival materials, gets at the materiality of history in a way that, my old way of doing this lesson did not. So this unit comes towards the last third of the course in 19th century Europe. It comes in the context of a series of lessons on politics, society, economics, of the latter part of the 19th century. They have already, right before this, have been introduced to things like the Second Industrial Revolution. We have done industrialization. We have already, to some extent, discussed population growth, changes in fertility, that sort of thing earlier in the course. And so this particular unit is kind of drawing on what we have already begun to get to, while also getting us a little bit to things like mass politics and mass culture that the course kind of ends with right before we get to World War I. Now, I do begin this lesson with a fairly standard account of kind of the moralist concerns that especially, you know, middle-class organizations were worried about with the growth of 19th century cities, in some ways as review, but in some ways just to get us to the central themes. And we talk a little bit about the constraints that workers, both men and women, but primarily women, faced in kind of a changing urban society and changing industrialized society. And I do ask, you know, at first, okay, so trigger warning, we're going to talk about prostitution. And so we do talk a little bit about what would drive women to sex work in this particular context. So, you know, just as a way of getting the students to think about the broader issue. And then my first goal as we get to this is to illustrate just how widespread and well incorporated the business of prostitution was in 19th century Paris, that this is not a peripheral issue either for the lives that were so affected or from the broader urban culture of the time. So I begin by, we talk about this registration card that I found in the archives that a woman would have carried, fille isolée, right? A woman who was registered by the police but wasn't living in a tolerated brothel towards the 1870s would have carried with her in order to, and I'm happy to share these images as well if anyone would like to use them as well. In order to show how much, A, the police cared, and so, you know, first thing that they come to realize is, oh, this was, you know, they usually say legal, and legal is kind of right. It's close to the truth, or tolerated is the better choice of the word. But, oh, the police are actually monitoring, and they are registering, and they are integrated into this broader system. And that's unique to them, right? If the state, and we just talked about moralizing, is supposed to be preserving the, you know, moral fabric of the city, why would the police get involved in this business in the first place? So we can we have a nice discussion about that. But then I also make sure to get them to really think about what it meant for this woman to go get a medical examination. So, you know, the DISP is the dispensaire, right, where the woman would have, the dispensary, where the woman, this young woman, presumably, would have been subjected to a form of violation that sometimes is hard for students to really understand. So we talk about what it would mean for a woman to have one of these cards, what it tells us about the way the urban authorities understood prostitution, and what it means about, you know, relating to the panel I just saw, a great panel, the distinction between constraint and opportunity when it comes to entering into the world of sex work. So at this point, I do tell them the kind of general story of French regulation, right? The idea that prostitution was inevitable in a large urban setting. They very much always giggle at the term the seminal drain, right? The notion that male sexual need kind of made female prostitution not only necessary, but in some ways a requirement for an urban, well-functioning urban city. And when we talked about this, you know, this is a class that a lot of students did not otherwise want to take. This is one of the first times where I saw genuine, like, interest in what was happening. And, you know, somewhat hopeful and somewhat expecting this, it was worth my time, I think, to take us a little off track by actually showing them some of the spaces in which sex work occurred. And I chose a fairly high-class, famous, tolerated brothel to illustrate what it was actually like for a certain segment of the population to experience this. So this is the Chabanet now an erotic art gallery. For those so inclined, I saw a really interesting exhibit of photographs of 19th century and 20th century. It was a lot of stuff. to put it mildly, they put out a nice catalog for anyone who wants to see it. And I take them inside. So the book, the catalog, had these images from the brothel. And again, this is not a typical brothel or a typical maison de tolérance. But you can see the ways in which the changing urban, and this is, you know, late 19th century, How sex work plugs into the broader theme of the story of urbanization around consumption and fantasy, and the ways in which sex was integral to the kind of production of a kind of capitalism that was premised on imagining eroticism. So that's the entryway. But then we can see, you know, some of the interiors, the second floor, and then my favorite is the bed, you know, one of the bedrooms, the Spanish room, where you can kind of imagine yourself to be, you know, this aristocrat. So, in some ways, taking them inside is somewhat of a digression, but the students really are fascinated by this stuff. So I don't conclude there. Instead, I take them back outside as a way of returning to the relationship between these interior spaces and exterior spaces. And I show them a couple of brothel exteriors, again, somewhat later than our period, to illustrate, you know, the relationship between urban, the experience of walking on the street and sex, right? So you can see these large address, the large address number, the Gros Numéro, which were used beginning in 1854 to indicate the existence of a tolerated brothel. And so the lesson, this part of a lesson, concludes by telling the students, you know, sex was so integrated in the city that there were specific ways in which you could recognize it or avoid it, right? That as the city changed, you had to know how to recognize the availability of sex, whether you wanted it or not, right? And so that's why it's so important to understanding of what these cities and city spaces were like. I think actually, I'm slightly over time, so I think I will conclude there, and I look forward to our question and answer.